each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome to TGIF. Just flying in. I'm actually in two different meetings.
Right. Sorry, Father, I can't speak right now because I'm having a mild heart attack.
So I just literally flew in. No, I'm actually in two meetings. I've got the. I have to tell you about this meeting. That's this has been like 10 years in the making, and really something. If we can get this off the ground, it'd be really beautiful. I mean, the groundwork has been laid.
Nice.
It's just a matter. But this is a. It's called Butterfly Garden.
Butterfly Garden.
And what it is we want to create a home for unwed mothers.
Oh, that's
so. This is really a ministry by women to women.
Wow.
But we've got the space, you know, the convent. If we can, you know, again, it's the groundwork is being laid, and then it'll be formally presented to the cardinal archbishop.
If but our lady wants it,
exactly,
will happen.
And that's exactly how we feel.
We've had this experience,
right? But it would be. Ministering to women in pregnancy,
wow.
Unwed mothers in pregnancy, and then but from pregnancy through the rearing of their children, so that they would have a place. Thank you. Thanks, Frank. They would have a place to that they would. In other words, it would be a home. And they would raise their children.
Wow, that is
together. And while they're doing that. They would have access to culinary skills, you know, different kinds of secretarial.
Wow.
In other words, they would be able to help them further their education, and at the same time, the caring for the children and raising the children, you know, and how to raise the children. You know, it's gonna if we can get this really going, the groundwork has been laid. It's absolutely beautiful. But this has been like 10 years in the making. I'd say the last couple of years, really. It's the books and the brochures and all everything that and they've got their own architect, a woman who's an architect. They've got different. I mean, they've all got these wonderful skills and gifts that they these women are committed to life. They're pulling themselves together to make this happen. Perhaps we'll get a religious order of sisters to.
Wow! Yeah.
Minister, you know, to live in the again in the home to oversee, but this is you know, down the road. But in any case, we're in almost a full day meeting with regards to that. So I'm coming. So I'm really in two meetings. I just broke for the radio right now. I just heard, you know, this was earlier today. Did you hear about the children on the bus?
No.
This was horrific, horrible, but at the same time it was. There's something quite cute. I don't know if that's the right thing. But let me just tell you what happened. So this, and I forgot, it was, I believe, in Pennsylvania or New Jersey somewhere over in the east. But this guy, so the kids had just gotten aboard the bus. They're kindergartners and little children. And the bus driver was getting ready to leave, but the door, you know, the last child got in, and this guy came in with a rifle.
No, I did not hear
this. Yeah, and so he hijacked the bus, told the driver to drive. And the bus driver just was, they got some of it on film, but just really cool and calm. And, you know, he was concerned about the safety of the children. And this guy wanted him to drive him to the next town, which is about 20 miles away. So the kids were scattered throughout the bus. So the gunman had all the children come to the front. He wanted them all in close proximity. Mm-hmm. Well, then the children, the kindergartners, started asking questions like, "Well, are you a soldier? Are you going to hurt us? Are you going to hurt our bus driver?" And they kept asking questions to the point they did stop the bus, stop the bus, and get off the bus. He couldn't take it anymore.
Wow!
But it was so the bus driver's been declared a hero, but he says, you know, the hero was really the children, because they kept asking questions.
So they took all the kids off, but they still kept the bus driver?
No.
They took everybody off.
He said, get everybody off, off the bus. Stop the bus right now. Get everybody off the bus. He said,
wow.
He couldn't take the questions. It was just, and that's the way the kindergartners are,
yeah.
You know, the preschool kindergartners.
Thousand
when I go
questions.
There, they get 1,000 questions. But could you just see that, you know?
Yeah.
So are you a soldier? Why are you doing this? Are you going to hurt us? Are you going to hurt the bus driver? And it was. I thought it was. It's horrible. I mean, you can imagine the bus driver what he was going through.
Can I hold the rifle?
Right.
How does it work?
Right. Out of the mouth of babes. But you should pray.
Yes.
And let me get my prayer out. By the way, you know, so the Yvonne. Siemens, who's been on the show before, she's heading this project. This is really her. She's the instrument in the hand of God that's really pulling this together. And she, a couple of the people that were supposed to be here, there's a group of people, all women upstairs, and a couple of the key people that really know the technology and all that, they couldn't make it. For reasons, there was a death in the family for one of them, and something. Another one is a member of the family is in hospice right now. So they got everything was pretty well set after thank God Frank, because he was helping them out with that, helping her out, and so then I happened to walk in before the meeting. You know, nobody had arrived yet, and all of a sudden it wasn't working, and so she said. Oh, gosh. She said, well, okay, a memorare. So she prayed the memorare, and wouldn't you know it, immediately after, everything appeared on the screen.
That's how it works.
We do believe in miracles. The little things, you
little
know.
Little things.
Happen. But she said, you know, this is not and it's true, I agree, spiritual warfare, you know, spiritual warfare. So we shall pray, and the Feast of Pentecost is just right around the corner. Tomorrow's a vigil, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. So let me get my glasses on here. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done on me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Hope of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the most holy rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, everybody, so again, it's Friday, TGIF, and this is just, we're on the Vigil of Pentecost is tomorrow. Talk a little bit about that. But first of all, did you get the video on...
Yes,
that, Father, was providential, wasn't
that
it?
That was very nice.
So that was the Marians of the Immaculate, yeah, Conception.
Yeah.
It's a religious order of priests.
It makes so much sense, too.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the thing. I just kind of went through it. But there, we were talking yesterday about the passing away, the death of Bebe, which is Tony and Angelica's dog, and which is really cause for a lot of grief. And it just so happened that yesterday afternoon or toward the evening or whatever, I happened to see that there was an email that came through, and it was, the question, I think, was, do pets go to heaven?
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is kind of timely. And I looked through it. I didn't get a chance to, because I think it was what, maybe?
Like about 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah, I didn't have the 20 minutes. But yeah. I looked at the just little different segments of it, and it seemed like it would be a good thing. So I sent it to you, Angelica. Yeah.
It's something to think about. So it's basically saying that, you know, our animals could possibly be angels. You know, and I think about that. Anyone that's really, you know, has an animal and cares for an animal and it becomes like it's definitely a part of the family.
Sure, yeah.
You know? And then it also, what flashed through my mind is I hear all these stories about how people mistreat them.
Right.
And how you would never, and I think it's children, you know, and I think about it myself. The kids always want an animal, you know. And the parents have to decide, well, you know, like in my case, well, what happens at the end? Or, you know, who takes care of it? Who, you know, and we hear these stories all the time. I've heard it even with my nieces and nephews. Okay, we want it, we want it, we want it, but then you don't take care of it.
Right.
Parents end up taking care of it. So it's I think it's any kind of pet is a beautiful experience. How, and I'm saying this in my grief, thinking about it now, you know, I'm glad I had the time. You know, so it's like,
yeah, it's, you know, it's, I was talking, it's funny you say that because we were, and I bet you we were, it came up because we were talking about Bebe with, I had a couple, I was preparing for marriage, and the gentleman is a Muslim, and it's been a very interesting experience. She's a very devout Catholic, he's a very devout Muslim, and Sunni Muslim, but we were talking about animals, and it came up about part of the conversation. Somehow it came up. It might have been because of your baby. No, but the did you know he was telling me that camels, and I do remember reading something about this somewhere. But so this idea that animals could they be angels? I mean. It really is interesting, God, how God so beautifully, I mean, the creator, the artist, you know, he's the artist, we're the work of his hands, but how he provides for human beings who have free will, but and do the most harm to each other and to the planet, you know, but he was talking about how camels are so devoted to their master,
I've heard this,
and that even if the master, their owner or whatever, but if he should disappear for 30 years, the camel remembers 30 years later, and they're fascinating. I want to read more on this, but they're fascinating animals, and he said that, you know, God has so created them, you know, that they can, you know, carry you through the desert, and they can, but also that in the frigid cold, you can snuggle into their fur, and you're enveloped in this warmth.
Wow.
You know, so that during the night, you know, when the sun goes down, and I guess the desert gets very, very cold, God has created the camel in such a way that, you know, it's just really fascinating, you know. And it made me think about these, because I like to watch from time to time these animal videos where this was an elephant, a baby elephant who got trapped in a ditch or something, and how the elephants all came and how they all worked
to get him out.
Yes, it was really, really impressive. It was so, so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, just as you're talking, I'm thinking about every that Genesis reading, how the animals were created for men, you know, because we need it, you know, and then, you know, every day has something God created. And you don't really, I mean, that's why, again, you got to know your faith and you got to know, you know, scripture. And we can hear it one time and then, okay, well, it's a story, it's great. But then when you kind of live the life and you see, okay, well, yeah, animals are, you know, they're a comfort. I mean, I still tear up when I see there's a commercial where they have like a sick girl in a hospital and then, you know, dog comes up.
Right, right.
And she's just,
Yeah.
And then you think about even like the seeing eye dogs, how they're trained.
Absolutely.
To,
yep.
You know, and it's like, wow.
We have in our school, we have two dogs that are, because we have some kids that have real anxiety problems, and the dogs, we have two dogs that
what are they called? Comfort animals?
Comfort animals. Yeah. And they really, it's just amazing to see the two, they don't both come on the same day. Mm-hmm. But the owner is, the teacher owns both of them.
Oh.
So she brings one day and one the next day. But what's beautiful is the students, it's a small class, but they're always in the company of the dog.
Yeah.
And it does bring a calm to the classroom, to the students, you know, and it's quite interesting. But you know, you see like over here on Goose Island, I used to see. I don't see it so much anymore, probably because there's been so much building that's gone on over there, just the other side of the Chicago River. Mm-hmm. I used to always, you'd have to stop for the ducks,
or the geese,
they're crossing the street, and the mother with the
little chicks,
8, 10, 12, 15 behind her.
Yeah,
it really is. It's beautiful. So, But I thought that was ironic. I thought it was very providential. So.
Yeah, it was very good.
All right, so we're going to take a break. I think Nick's got to come back over here on this side, and then we'll talk about the Feast of Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church. All right, everybody. I am Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Was that Tim Gordon that's coming?
Yeah,
out?
That's Tim.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow. That'd be something to see. You should check into that.
I want to.
Is it this Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's this weekend, right, Nick? Yeah.
Well, we've got confirmation on Sunday. So. Anyway, speaking of confirmation, which is how appropriate, we're going to have our first confirmation. This is our second confirmation. So we've got actually four confirmations we're doing.
Wow.
And this is this one will be on the Feast of Pentecost. So it's
probably a good time to have it.
it's a perfect time to have it, really. But on the vigil of Pentecost, the church in her liturgies in the masses calls to mind the example of the apostles and disciples who, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, persevered in prayer, awaiting the Spirit promised by the Lord In her prayer, the church petitions Almighty God for the grace to remain a holy people, formed as one by the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the church asks for the grace to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is the Holy Eucharist. It's really interesting to go through the prayers, and that's what I did. I went through all the different prayers of the liturgy. So there's the Vigil Mass, and there's the Mass of the Day, but then there's all just a whole slew of readings from the Old Testament, as well as the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles and the Gospel. So this the first point I want to make is the fact is that after the Ascension, and we're in that night and day period, the disciples or the apostles, they wait in the cenacle, in prayer, in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So they're praying in communion with and in unity with the Mother of God as they await this infusion of the Holy Spirit that would empower them to fulfill the mission entrusted to them by Almighty God, by Jesus. So up to that time, there's much that they don't understand. But once infused with the Spirit of God, I mean, if you think of Peter, when Jesus took the apostles to Caesarea Philippi, and that was just the northernmost part of Israel, and this is about 30 miles from Capernaum. Or that vicinity along the Galilean Sea. And Jesus went out of his way. He went 30 miles north before he begins his final journey south or up to Jerusalem, the holy city. South, but up to, because we're going to, the elevation is going up. And so he went out of his way, 30 miles out of his way to this city, which was the city, what it had there, the rock of the gods, niches to all the gods and all that. And the main god was the god Pan or Pan, which means a shepherd god. But and it was there that Jesus asked, purposely took him there to ask this question of the apostles. And he said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give all kinds of a prophet, maybe Elijah come back from the dead, or John the Baptist come back from the dead. You know, people are, it's like, okay, that's what people say. But you've been with me 3 years. Who do you say that I am? And Simon said, up to this point, he was Simon. Simon said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the Living God." And Jesus said, "Simon, no mere man has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so I say to you, Simon, you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock," not that rock, referring to the rock of the wall behind them, which are the niches to the gods. He said, "But not on that rock, but on this rock, on you, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Couple this with this declaration or this identification of Jesus when Jesus explains that, we're going to Jerusalem and there I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, "Lord, this shall not be. I will defend you to death." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're trying to trip me up. I say to you that..." He says, I pray for you, Peter, that you strengthen your brothers, because you need to know, you must know that Satan means to sift you all like weeds, like wheat. And then, of course, later he'll say, you say you will defend me, but this night before the cock crows, you will have three times denied me, which, by the way, happens to be the gospel this evening. The Mass is this reconciliation between Peter and Jesus after the resurrection, but where Jesus says, it didn't say Peter, it says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he says, "Feed my sheep." And he said, Simon, son of John, do you really love me? He says, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, tend to the lambs. And then he asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you really, really love me? Do you love me more than the rest? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he says, yes, when you were a young man, you went about and you did as you pleased, but now another will come and strap you against you, will and take you where, where you'd rather not go, to signify the kind of death by which Peter would die. Because Peter fled in fear the night before, after the arrest of Jesus, and denied three times that he even knew the Lord. And of course, he realized what he did, and he wept. And so this was after the resurrection, Peter is with the apostles, and he's the first of the apostles. He's the head, will be head of the church, the first pope, but there needed to be this reconciling, and so Peter knew. I always imagine Peter after the resurrection, he's off to the distance, a little bit. He's there, but he's, you know, he needs this reconciliation. He needs to apologize or to express his sorrow at what he did, how he denied the Lord. And so this, when Peter takes him aside, this was at the shore of the sea where they're fishing, and Jesus is preparing the breakfast, and this is the risen Lord, and I believe it was John who says, it's the Lord. And Peter got out, and they all got out, and they came ashore. And Jesus was preparing a breakfast, and so they were eating the breakfast. And then Jesus said, Peter, you took him aside and asked these three questions. So the reconciliation happens. But the point is that did he really know, like even when he says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, did he really understand the real ramifications of that declaration? The chances are he didn't, you know, and because, you know, up until the time of our Lord's, up until the time of Pentecost, but certainly up to the time of the Ascension, still Jesus, during the 40 days from the resurrection to the Ascension, there's much we don't know, you know, as he's instructing the apostles, preparing them, but we do know that before he died, Jesus expresses his frustration that they don't get it, they don't understand. And what is it that they don't understand? That Jesus is God. He is God. He is the Christ, the Messiah. It means the Savior, right? But that this is God himself in the flesh, who means to save us, redeem us from our slavery to sin and death, to establish a kingdom that is not of this world. The Israelites certainly were looking for to regain a worldly status, become a powerful kingdom in the world among other nations. But they don't quite understand. And do they understand? No, they don't understand it. Really, this is... So they expected a Messiah, but that Messiah would be God in the flesh. This is only fully understood after Pentecost, when they're infused with the Spirit of God, because they're completely changed. And Peter, you see this in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter is completely transformed man, because in the gospel he's a student, right? He's a disciple. He's a student of the Lord. He's an apostle, but he's learning. I wouldn't say he's timid, but he does put his foot in his mouth, and he's trying to impress Jesus. And there's all, you know, you see the humanity of some of the apostles, and certainly they have love for the Lord, and they're he is the teacher, they are the students, he's the master, they're the disciples. But it's the dramatic change that happens after Pentecost, when all of a sudden Peter now is a different man. He's truly imbued with the Spirit, infused with the Spirit of God, and he speaks with the very same authority of Jesus. He speaks in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is he lives on in well he lives on in certainly he's risen from the dead. He's returned to the right hand of the Father, but he and he prays about this the night before he dies, that and prepares the apostles for the gift of the Holy Spirit that will teach them all things. But this happens on Pentecost. And so they come to an understanding. And even then, you know, the church down through her 2,000-year history is always deepening her understanding of who she is. There's no new revelation, but we come to a deeper understanding of what has been revealed. And so, what's interesting is they're already in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and they persevere in prayer, and they await the Spirit promised by the Lord. And so in the vigil Mass, the Church is petitioning Almighty God for the grace to remain a holy people, formed as one by the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she's asking in her prayer for the grace, the Spirit of God, to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is the Holy Eucharist, that we never deviate from that sacrament whereby, Jesus remains with us in the sacred mysteries under the hidden guise of bread and wine, to feed us with himself, that we not collapse, but also that he reproduces life in us, so that we're manifesting his life in the world, each in their own state of life, and according to how God chooses to work in us and through us. What we need is that docility of spirit, that receptivity to be open to the inner working of God's Spirit. So the Pentecost is the beautiful thing is we celebrate these feasts every year because we are in the exile on the journey, and so we need to be ever reminded and deepen our relationship with Christ. And we do this by remaining very close to Jesus in the sacraments as well as in the Word of God. The Church also this is on the vigil and through the readings and the prayers, recalls how God, who in fire and lightning gave the ancient law of Moses to Moses on Mount Sinai and established the covenant with the people. The Jews celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments on the Feast of Pentecost. So naturally, they, being Jewish, this primitive church, all Jewish, they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They're celebrating when in fire and lightning, God gave the ancient law, the Ten Commandments. And it was on this feast day that the new covenant, the universal covenant, was manifested in the fire of the Spirit, in the fire of the Spirit. And so the Church prays that we, the members of his body, always be aflame with the same Spirit poured out on the apostles. And that's really kind of awesome to think about that, too, that I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that the very God who said to Moses, when Moses approached the burning bush out of curiosity because it wasn't consumed, and God spoke and said, remove your shoes, you're on holy ground. And he calls Moses to go to Egypt. He wants the people set free. And Moses, he balks. He doesn't feel that he can do that. He doesn't have the skills, the capability. But you know, the Spirit of God is already acting, right? Mm-hmm. And will act in and through Moses. And interestingly, when Moses says, so he agrees to go. He says, "But who are you? What is your name that I can tell the people who sent me?" And he says, "I am who am, Yahweh. I am who am." That's it. He is who is. I am who am. And it's only in the gospel, especially in John's gospel, where this is really laid out for us, this identification of Jesus as God, as the very God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush Because, as I've said many times before, the first to recognize Jesus, really recognize Jesus, were the demons, right? The demons. But in any case, in John's gospel, it's the I Am gospel, right? What are the I Ams?
In the door.
In the door.
Thinking.
The good, good shepherd.
The shepherd, yeah. The light.
The light, the living water, the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. But all this is preceded by I Am, I Am, I Am, I Am. And this runs through the entire gospel of St. John. And I just find it fascinating. Oh, and it's in the farewell discourse, I believe it is there, that he says, so that you will know that I am. And it's all in all caps. And then when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the temple guard asks, are you Jesus the Nazarene? And he says, I am. And when he said that, the gospel says power came out of him, and they were blown to the ground, you know. The divinity, that divine power, God's power, blew him to the ground. And then when he's before Pilate, and Pilate says, are you a king? He says, so you say, I am. So this is the I Am gospel that really identifies who Jesus is. But still, do they not until Pentecost, do they understand it? In fact, this is God. So Jesus says, I'll send the Spirit so that you will know that I am, I am. And it's fascinating when you just think about the same God that we relate to, that we pray to, we nurture our relationship with God, our intimacy with God, that's the same God that spoke to Moses in the burning bush, the same Jesus Christ who walked the earth and who taught and prepared the apostles, laid out the blueprint, redeemed us and saved us, and then... It's his divine will to share his life with us, you know, to abide within us by the grace and the power of the Spirit. Even the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist is the working of the Spirit, right? It's fascinating to see that we're part of this living tradition that is the same God acting through history, and we have this little bit of time in order to allow God to take possession of our lives. But like with the apostles and with all the saints, life is a purgative, a transforming, and a sanctifying experience, but all by the grace and the power of the Spirit. So when the Church in her prayer says that we always be aflame with the same Spirit poured out on the apostles, you know, that it's the same Spirit. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. But God needs our response, our receptivity, our docility, our openness to the inner working of His Spirit. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change.
New from EWTN Publishing, Living the Scriptures by Mother Angelica is a collection of some of Mother Angelica's best on-air presentations and extemporaneous meditations. You will discover that Scripture is not a complicated puzzle meant for pensive biblical scholars, but a divine guide for our everyday spiritual life. And The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume by Cardinal Fernando Filoni, the Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, reflects on the life, the beliefs, the values, and the choices for a knight and a dame. Living the Scriptures and The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit
ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we're talking about the Feast of Pentecost, which is the vigil starts tomorrow, and then the feast day. Well, the vigil is the beginning of the feast day. So, as I was reflecting before the break, it's fascinating the readings, scripture readings, and the liturgy, the prayers of the church, what they convey or communicate to those who participate in the sacred mass, in the holy mass. The church recalls also how God, throughout history, and this is the beauty of God, that He restores what has fallen and preserves what He restores, because we're always a fallen people. We always deviate. We always get off track. And this is the marvel and the wonder of the Catholic faith, of the Christian faith, Judeo-Christian faith, let's say, because we have no identity apart from Judaism. But we see already how the Spirit's moving through the Israelite community, through the descendants of Abraham, and God is forming this nation. From this nation, the Messiah would come, and what precedes the coming of the Messiah, the idolatries and the abominations and the backsliding and the infidelities and the worldliness of the people of God. This hasn't changed. It didn't change after the Messianic hour. We're in the Messianic time. We fall into the same trap over and over. And so God, through His Spirit, through history, throughout history, He restores what has fallen. He gives the grace, and He preserves what He restores. That's why, again, Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But we have to be astute and humble, open, pliable, clay in the hand of the potter. The church asks that God send the Spirit, that we increase and be renewed by the sanctification of His name, not our name, but His name, that God be glorified in all that we do and all that we are. The church asks for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that walking in oneness of faith, we may attain in our flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection. We look forward in confident hope to the fullness of life. So it's always that looking into eternity. Always, you know, we keep reality ever before us, that we're on the way, we're in the pilgrimage, we're in the spiritual battle, we're not condemned to be here forever, but there's something so beautiful that awaits us. And yet we're fully acting under the inspiration of the Spirit. In the mission of the church, we are His emissaries, His disciples, His ambassadors. But again, it's as we say so often, repeating the words of St. Paul, the goal is that it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. This is the goal, that Jesus reproduces life in us. Finally, the church on the vigil will ask God to fulfill His gracious promise that by the coming of the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses before the world to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. And we were talking about that the other day. How do we witness the faith? You know, and it's something that we may not be, we may have a specific ministry that say that there's a specific call, just as I mentioned, these women who are working to they're following a call that the Spirit is moving them to minister women to women, women ministering to women who are unwed during their pregnancy and long after their pregnancy. This is a very specific call, but we're all called to be obedient to the laws of God, to have a great sensitivity to God and to the things of God, all things sacred, a sensitivity to evil. Again, you know, that if we're imbued with the Spirit of God, then we should be people in the world that project a dignity, a nobility, a grace. We're set apart to be that leaven, to be the salt, to be light in the darkness. So this feast day is the birthday of the church, and it brings to completion the season of Easter. It's on this feast of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit gave birth to the mystical body of Christ, the family of God. And in that body and in that family, there is a great multitude, which, as Scripture says, no one can count, from every nation, every race, every people and tongue. They are in heaven. They are on earth. Those in heaven have survived the trials and tribulations of this world, and they intercede on behalf of us all. So we're talking about the Catholicity of the Church, the universality of the New Covenant. From one nation, God goes to all nations, but again, acting the apostles and disciples and their descent, and those, and all of us down to the present age, we've got to be conscious of the fact that we're acting under the power or the influence of God's Spirit, which means a constant dying to self, losing ourselves, forgetting self. Somebody had asked me yesterday, and I mentioned this, what to do, or I forget how, in what context the question was asked. But I said, you know, it's because you know we have this inclination to be proud. Our pride gets in the way. It may not be that we're proud, but pride. We get easily hurt, or we want to do it our way, or we become too egocentric, too self-centered. I say we've been breeding narcissism for decades already in our nation, in the West, in the world, thanks to the egocentricity of much of the social media, right? It's really quite interesting. I have to tell you something, too, about that. I find it very sad and very disturbing. But but in any case, it's to... So somebody says, "Well, how do I conquer pride?" Well, you have to surrender your life to God, to the Spirit of God. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit, but acknowledge the reality, and that is that I am nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing apart from God, and recognize that as a precious nothingness. That God be everything, because if God is a creator, God loved us into life. He's the artist. We're the work of His hands. Then it would be, would there be any other way that we would choose, right?
Right.
Because He sees us. He sees what He created, and that's what He wants to bring out of us. But we are corrupted. We are feeling the effect of the original sin, though we've been baptized. We are sinners. And so we're in this, but we've got the promise of the Spirit. And, you know, baptism brings us to... eventually, as we come to the age of reason, to the sacrament of reconciliation and Holy Communion, to confirmation, where we confirm our faith, we bear the burden of responsibility to live in the Spirit of God, to allow God to take possession of our lives and to give witness to Christ as members of the mystical body. This universal, the universality of the church, and this is really unique to the church, and it happened immediately. Jesus says, "Go to all the nations, go to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and preach repentance of sin, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples of all nations. In other words, bring them into my body, the church, the mystical body, into the family of God. St. Paul says, he writes, those led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Again, we're in the family of God. We did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we've received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And so in the Holy Mass, we renew our yes to the Lord to suffer with him. And what does it mean to suffer with Jesus? It means to fulfill the will of the Father. It means to emulate Jesus, who offered his life in a love that was sacrificial. It means that we keep the commandments and fulfill our responsibility, our responsibilities as Christians. And in these days, really, of intense anxiety, we are inundated with entirely too much noise, too much information, and we would do well to quiet ourselves, open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in a whisper, purging us of immorality, idolatry, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, and the like. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is sacrificial love, joy and peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So this is the transformative, the purgating power of the Spirit, which is transformative and sanctifying. All right, we're out of time. There's a little bit more I want to go into, but we can come back to it on, not Tuesday, I will not be here. So anyway, everybody, have a blessed feast day, feast of the Pentecost. Be docile, be receptive, be open, come Holy Spirit, in the company of Mary, we open our heart to the Spirit of God. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide, the winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. Thank you.
truth left unsold, the truth left unsold.